This mini-lecture for English 206, Literary History, is focused on presenting American literary history in about 10 minutes. This is a party line standard presentation of American literary history. A number of the points that I'm going to bring up here are controversial to specialists. There are things that may raise questions for people who don't know a whole lot about American literary history, but these are the ways that these have been historically and often still are talked about in general terms in the academy, and traditional period markers are also laid out as a result of this. There are four basic ways into American literary history. There is a debate over when American literary history starts. One option is to start with Native American texts. Why? Because the Indians were here before the Europeans were. Very simple answer to that one. Another option is to start, say, with Columbus, or maybe more broadly, the Spanish and French conquest and exploration of the Americas, the French primarily in North America, mostly what is now Canada, but also New England and other places, the Spanish mainly in southern Central America, but also what's now the southwestern U.S. A third option, the earliest English language option, since most American literature is understood as being English language, this is where many people choose to begin, is with the first successful colony, Jamestown, founded in 1607, and that begins a Virginia and mid-Atlantic story of American literature that focuses on Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia as the source of the literature. The most dominant of the four candidates is the one that starts the latest, and that's the New England colonies, 1620, 1621, 1630, whichever year you want to start with. 1630 is the year that Boston is founded, and that is often thought of as the beginning of Puritan New England. The Pilgrims who were in Plymouth the decade before that were not Puritans, and so that religious distinction sometimes plays in. Through the colonial period, these colonies, especially in New England, are very religiously focused. The big genres that you see are not the genteel poetry coming out of England at this time. What you see more are sermons, you see prose histories, you see letters and journals, often the people reflecting on their faith. Do they see evidence of God in their lives? This fades as secularism grows in the 1700s. We have on the one side Jonathan Edwards, one of the most influential theologians in American history, writing amazing sermons in the mid-century. At the same time, there is a masterful printer named Benjamin Franklin who's changing the world from his shop in Boston. Or I'm sorry, he's born in Boston, but he's in Philadelphia. Then the revolution happens, and everything begins to change. We move into what's known as the early national period, where you see Americans starting to write more poetry. They're starting to write fiction. People like Charles Brockden Brown, the first major novelist by many standards, a Gothic novelist. Another candidate for that first major novelist, Susanna Rowson, is famous for writing romance and actually seduction narrative novels. So that's an interesting place to think about where American fiction starts. By the time we get to the other side of the War of 1812, around maybe 1820, that early national period seems to have come to a close, and we move into what's often referred to as the antebellum period, referring to before the war, before the Civil War. Sometimes this is called the Romantic period in American literature because this is where the biggest engagement with European Romanticism happens, through writers like the Transcendentalists, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, focusing much on nature, on individual liberty, individual genius, much as the British Romantics did. You have the rise of American fiction happening a bit later, but with people like Washington Irving, James Fenimore Cooper, this starts to become internationally known. And by the 1850s, it's moved into a kind of a mature period with people like Poe writing in the 1840s and then the 50s, Hawthorne, Melville, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and Uncle Tom's Cabin. And then when the war arrives. What's often understood that happens at that point is that romanticism fades out. It's too emotional, it's too sentimental. What replaces it is realism, writing about everyday people, everyday lives, and writing more about social issues. And people like Mark Twain are seen as doing this out in the country. People like Henry James and William Dean Howells are doing it in the cities. And this will eventually lead into the development of what's called naturalism, which is a very pessimistic version of this, focusing a great deal on social injustice, but also with the sense that things can't be solved, that the poor are doomed to be destroyed by the evil businessmen. This is something that Frank Norris, Stephen Crane, a number of these kinds of writers are very much interested in. Moving out of this period, we start to see a move toward what's now known as modernism. In fiction, this looks like the writings of Edith Wharton, very psychologically focused, very ironic kinds of narrative voice that lead into what is known as the Lost Generation. This is F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, William Faulkner, these kinds of writers. In poetry, this is starting to look like, say, the imagism of Ezra Pound, William Carlos Williams, the kinds of experimentations in form that T.S. Eliot and Wallace Stevens are involved in. And by the time World War II rolls around, American literature really seems to have come into its own. On the other side of the war, as in Britain, it seems to move into what is known as the postmodern era. This starts to result in more experimentation in terms of fictional form, ranging from the surrealist passages in Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison in the 1950s, all the way up to people like Thomas Pynchon today, David Foster Wallace, Dave Eggers. There's this move toward fragmentation, toward trying to figure out where are all these pieces going in American literature. At the same time, more and more cultural voices are emerging. Already in the modernist era, the Harlem Renaissance as a phenomenon really brought African American writing to the fore, particularly people like Langston Hughes and Zora Neale Hurston. After World War II, you start to see more Native American writers becoming prominent. The first Pulitzer is won by a Native American, N. Scott Mamede, in the 1960s. More and more African American writers are given attention. By the 1970s, Asian American writers are starting to emerge as voices in the country. And Maxine Hong Kingston's Woman Warrior in the 1980s is one of the kind of classic texts of that particular tradition. So just as the British tradition moved into a very global sense by the 21st century, what has happened to American literature over the same time period is that it's grown from being an immigrant literature in the colonial era to continuing to absorb new immigrant experiences and retranslating those into increasingly cosmopolitan forms, focused more and more on especially the major cities of New York, LA, to a lesser extent Boston, by the current day.